We have a lot coming your way before we step aside for high school football tonight. We are at Twin Peaks right here on North Shore between Kingston Pike and Paper Mill Road. And we can tell you the thermostat says it's 28.5 degrees, or at least that's the temperature at which, Jimmy, their beer is being served. So when you talk about eats, drinks, scenic views, you also know 28.5 degrees.
Yeah, if it were 28 in here, I'd be wearing a little bit more clothing. But, yeah, the beer is fantastic, and that's a pretty good temperature for beer, right? So, yeah, that's but that's it's typically around that level. But it's just a great place to come by. I usually get, when I'm eating here, the fish tacos are really good, but they've got a really nice menu here.
They sure do. Chicken tenders are outstanding as well. Several other things, and we know a number of guys that have a tendency to arm wrestle to see who gets the assignment to engineer these remotes. But we've got a lot coming your way today. Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com will join us later this hour. Hour number two of the show is the pick segment. Mike Stoll, former Tennessee co-captain, former all-SEC performer, the former offensive lineman, will join us for hour number two of the show. Hour number three is the Pigskin Panel. Will Overstreet and John Pennington will join us for that. We'll have Mike Dettillier join us as Jimmy, our longtime friend, is going to highlight some of the VFLs that are doing big things for the New Orleans Saints these days.
They're really doing well. You expect Alvin Kamara because he's been doing it. Marquez Callaway has really had some nice performances, had a two-touchdown game the other day. Shai Tuttle's been playing a lot. They've got, I think, four VFLs on that roster, and so three are free agents.
Yes,
I think so. But so we'll talk to him about that, and he might even give us a little bit of insight on LSU.
Yep. So Mike will join us around 6:15. We will work in a practice report with Eric Kane. We'll actually slide that in a little bit later this hour, as he has to go a little bit earlier today. But we'll have an injury report for Tennessee and Alabama, as well as comments from Josh Heupel, probably a word or two from Nick Saban. All that and more today on Sports Talk at Twin Peaks, right between Kingston Pike and Paper Mill on North Shore.
We're going to get to our news and notes brought to you by Image Matters Technology. You need people that you can trust. So, Tennessee taking on Alabama this week, this Saturday, 7 o'clock. So, what do we know about Tennessee? Hendon Hooker, it's been reported he's starting. I can't confirm that. I do think he's making the trip. I can confirm that. And he has practice. So, we know that. Whether he's going to start or not, I'm not sure. But here's the key thing. He has to be able to protect himself or you don't play him. And I still think this is going to be a game-time decision. I do not believe that they've already made a decision on whether he's going to start. Maybe so. We'll see. But since he's become the starting quarterback at Tennessee, he's second in the SEC in passer rating at almost 180, accounted for 16 touchdowns, 12 passing, no interceptions during those five games as a starter. So we'll see. Now, Tyon Evans, he has been practicing. I do think he's going to be back. But we'll see. And typically we get surprised by a player that's injured that we don't know anything about because they keep the wraps on those injuries over at UT. As far as Alabama, Bryce Young, 24 touchdown passes. That leads the SEC. It's third in the nation. And here's going to be a challenge for Tennessee. Alabama's run defense gives up 90 yards a game. That's eighth in the nation. They do a nice job in that regard. And Tennessee is going to have to be able to run the football some against Alabama to have any chance at all. All right, a few other notes out there. Boy, did you have a good one last night. Catholic 30, Powell 29. Catholic led 23-7. Powell stormed back, took the lead on a lateral fumble recovery for a touchdown.
Yep.
And then Catholic answered in the last 4 minutes or so. Touchdown pass to Tommy Winton, his third of the game, a terrific acrobatic catch. What an entertaining game last night, John.
Boy, it really was, and you expected that going in. Powell with just the one loss this season, and Catholic, of course, coming up short in a couple of its biggest showdowns. But to see the game play out the way it did, you knew Powell wasn't going to go away, even though it was down 16. They tie it up in the third quarter, or actually they came within two, and then they used the turnover to take the lead, and it turned out to be brief. Catholic converted some huge opportunities on that last drive, including one fourth down to keep it alive. And then, as you mentioned, Tommy Winton, the circus catch, as the ball kind of hit his chest, and then it starts to fall, and he pins it against the back of his leg. And as you see the slow-mo replay, it never had a hint of touching the ground. It was just amazing, the body control, the just the athletic ability and skill that he possesses. But what a great game and what a huge win for Catholic. And go ahead and congratulate Pal, as it will likely win its region next Friday.
The win's really good. You've known that for years since you've called his games, but he is a really, really good player. All right, we had a couple of college games last night. It was SMU 55-26 over Tulane. Tanner Mordecai, 427 yards, four touchdowns. He had one rushing. He's now thrown for 29 touchdowns this year, which I believe leads the nation, against seven interceptions. He is an Oklahoma transfer. SMU is undefeated, 7-0. Louisiana Lafayette got the win over Arkansas State, Bush Jones, 28-27. And while we're on college football, the American Athletic Conference has approved the additions of Florida Atlantic, Charlotte, North Texas, Texas San Antonio, Rice, and UAB to join that league. And by the way, with mentioning SMU at 7-0, there's a chance that we could have the fourth matchup of 10-0 teams this season. The last time it happened, Michigan and Ohio State in 2006. This is since the AP poll started. SMU and Cincinnati are scheduled to play in a few weeks. Both of them, each could be 10-0 when that game is played. Had an NFL game last night, Cleveland over Denver, 17-14. And where in the world did D'Ernest Johnson come from? My goodness.
The depth chart?
Whoa. Third team, 20 carries, 146 yards. He was really impressive. I know now, and he had like 198 career yards in 3 years in the NFL. And people talk about, well, you can find running backs. You can. I still think that was a major surprise. But my goodness, then Cleveland was able to run out the last 5-17 in big part because Johnson was able to convert some third downs for them. Case Keenum was pretty effective in the game. Teddy Bridgewater, I thought, was as well. But one of the key stats, John, Cleveland outrushed Denver 182-41.
Yep.
That's tough. And I know Von Miller went out, but I was surprised Denver's run defense was didn't fare better.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time before we have the celebration of life for Vic Fangio's head coaching tenure. Oh. I believe he's going to be taking a walk off a plank very, very soon.
Some other notes as far as the NFL. Tyreek Hill with a quad muscle has missed two straight practices. We'll see if he plays. A.J. Brown had food poisoning last week. He is expected to play this week, but he came back and played well against the Bills, but he's been bothered by that, and he's missing practice this week. Giants running back Saquon Barkley with an ankle, not expected to play this weekend. Darryl Taylor, the VFL with Seattle, had looked like a scary injury last week, but he says he expects to play against the New Orleans Saints Monday Night Football. And then Tom Brady seeking his 11th consecutive win over a rookie quarterback, and that would be the Bears' Justin Fields. Brady's thrown for 2,064 yards this year. The Bears have thrown for 703. And it was last year against the Bears that Brady lost track of the downs. He didn't acknowledge it then. He did acknowledge it later. But the Bears were able to beat Tampa Bay last year. All right, Major League Baseball, Dodgers stayed alive. They beat Atlanta 11-2. Chris Taylor, three home runs, six runs batted in. He's the 11th player to have a three home run game in the playoffs. A couple of others that have done it, Babe Ruth, Albert Pujols. The next game coming up, game six, Atlanta leads it 3-2 in that series. Boston takes on Houston tonight. Houston leads that series 3-2, and they will be in Houston. In the NBA, so Ben Simmons met with Philadelphia today and said he's just not mentally ready to play to his expectations. So who knows how that saga is going to play out. Thought it was interesting that last year in the regular season, Simmons averaged 14.3 points. In the playoffs, he averaged 11.9. In the regular season, he had 10.1 field goal attempts, and in the playoffs, 7.9. And here's one. In the regular season, he had 61% from the foul line, which isn't any good. But in the playoffs, he hit 34%, which is abysmal. So, and then Philadelphia said they're not going to trade Ben Simmons for a role player. They want a difference maker. Good luck with that. You got the Heat routing Milwaukee 137-95. What made that interesting? Well, it's the largest defeat by a defending champion in its first road game the next year. Golden State beating the Clippers 115-113. Steph Curry, 45 points, 10 rebounds, his 50th 40-point game. And most 40-point games by a player 33 years or older. Michael Jordan, 11. Bernard King, the former Vol, 8. And then Curry was 6. And also Saturday down south, they rated the top quarterbacks in the SEC. Matt Corral comes in at number one. Bryce Young is number two. Georgia's quarterback is number three, whichever one they go with. At four, K.J. Jefferson of Arkansas. And five, Hendon Hooker. He's moved all the way up to number five, according to Saturday Down South, best quarterbacks in the SEC. The Florida quarterbacks come in at six. Then Will Rogers is seven. Will Levis at Kentucky is number eight. Bo Nix at Auburn is nine. 10, LSU's Max Johnson. 11, Zach Calzada at A&M. 12, Connor Basilak with Missouri. Zeb Nolan of South Carolina is 13. Mike Wright at Vanderbilt is last on that list. And then the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar best center in the country watch list. He's got four from the SEC. Walker Kessler from Auburn. He's a transfer to Auburn. Colin Castleton at Florida. He's a transfer from Michigan. And then you got Oscar Shibo from Kentucky. And then Liam Robbins at Vanderbilt. Robbins is a transfer from Minnesota. And then Ole Miss this weekend, they're hosting LSU. They're also hosting Arch Manning, who's making a visit to Oxford. And at the same time, they're retiring Eli Manning's jersey. So big doings in Oxford. I don't know if Arch Manning's going to end up going there, but big weekend for Ole Miss, big weekend for the Mannings as the Rebels host the Tigers. And those are news and notes brought to you by Image Matters.
And we are here today at Twin Peaks. Eats, drink scenic views. And, Jimmy, we certainly appreciate Twin Peaks just for what a great partner they are. When we've done so many special shows here, whether it has to do with the College Football Roundtable or the NFL Draft, for years and years and years, they have sponsored our picks segment. So we just love the fact that they allow us to do as much as we can because they are such great partners.
Well, they are. And we've been here a number of times. We've been here for NCAA basketball tournament. We've from time to time, we've had specialty shows. They've hosted those as well. So we really appreciate the partnership we have with Twin Peaks.
Let's go to the phones and check in with John. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, John.
Hey, John and Jimmy. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
I want to read you
two things that I found about the Tennessee-Mississippi game, because I still think that game is unique, and that Matt Corral fumble has never happened in college football history, and I've never been worked up that much over a play since before replay was invented, and I'm going to prove to you why that play is unique after I read this. Okay, this one's from the SEC webpage. It says, all SEC officials are held accountable of their body of work of their crew on a weekly and annual basis. So that means they should be putting out another statement here soon about that call. Now,
they've already put out a statement on that call. You know they've already put out a statement on that call.
Which they have, and I'm going to read it to you. SI.com reported on Monday, the biggest incident came in the first quarter when Ole Miss quarterback Matt Corral fumble was returned for 42 yards, apparent touchdown by Vol edge receiver Tyler Barron. But the officials gathered and overruled the touchdown, saying Corral's forward progress was stopped before the fumble. The officials huddled after the play and determined that forward progress was stopped. The SEC told Knoxville News Sentinel in a statement, therefore, no fumble was ruled on the play. It is not uncommon, which is not true, for officials that are not certain in real time of the status of the loose ball to let a play finish before gathering together to compare notes to correctly officiate the play. Now, in my view, if they can't find it in the replay where somebody either blew the whistle dead or waved it off, then the ruling on the field stands. So therefore, this play is unique. And it actually should be making college news in football.
Okay.
What do you think?
You mentioned replay. Replay cannot.
John, we appreciate the call.
Yeah, replay cannot intervene if they rule forward progress. So that is not a reviewable play, which we mentioned early in the week. And they did rule forward progress. They have oftentimes let a play out. I disagree with it. I didn't think it was forward progress. I thought it should have been a fumble, but they said that it was stopped, and I think there was a mistake made in stopping it, but that's what happened. They ruled forward progress was stopped.
Let's get a practice report with Eric Kane as he joins us now. Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. Tennessee and of Alabama, of course, the third Saturday in October, which is actually the fourth Saturday in October this year, set to be played tomorrow at 7 o'clock Eastern time. And, of course, Alabama's won 14 straight in this series. It's a 58-38-7 advantage. But it's been a series of streaks for either side. Of course, right now it's been all Alabama. Tennessee seeking its first win over Alabama since a 16-13 win back in 2006. First win in Tuscaloosa since the 5-overtime thriller back in 2003. And so the stage is set for Tennessee. It's a 25-point underdog as of right now, but Josh Heupel and club excited to get the opportunity to go down and play against what Heupel and Nick Saban believe is one of the better rivalries in all of college football. And of course, you can hear that on the Sports Animal beginning at 7 o'clock, and game day all day coverage begins at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Eric, what do you think's got to improve for Tennessee to have a chance to beat Alabama based on the last few games?
Well, I'll say I'll give you two. One, special teams has got to improve, and it's something that Tennessee started off the season playing so well. I mean, Tennessee had a true advantage playing special teams with a kickoff coverage unit, punting unit, and just net yards of punts. Pretty much, you know, what it was doing in terms of field position, winning that battle because of special teams the first 3 weeks of the season. Remember the Pittsburgh game when you blocked a punt right there and then scored on the next play. But since game four on, Tennessee's made at least one really bad play on special teams every game. And, you know, it's enough to give you a failing grade. Now, you know, last week's special team blunder, it was Valus Jones. It was just one player with a muff punt, and that happens every now and then. But whether it be penalties, whether it be giving up a touchdown on kickoff return, whether it be allowing a big return, special teams has got to improve because, again, in games like this, when you're a heavy underdog, you can't afford to beat yourself. So special teams has got to improve. And then the protection. You know, Tennessee's allowed 11 sacks in the last 2 weeks, and I understand it's a beat-up offensive line. You know, really not for sure exactly who might be out there and available for tomorrow, and Alabama's got a really strong defensive line and, you know, one of the better pass rushers in all of college football in Will Anderson. So it's going to be a challenge. And it's not all the offensive line. It's tight ends and running backs as well. But the communication has got to be better in terms of the protection. And you got to protect your quarterback, especially if it is Hendon Hooker tomorrow, who might not be playing at 100%. So the two big things for me would be special teams. Got to win special teams and protecting your quarterback in pass protection, because that both of those have not been sharp the last couple of games.
Do you think Hooker's going to start?
I think he's going to play in terms of if he can go, then I think Tennessee's going to play him. It's been more and more as the week's gone on that Hendon Hooker has been practicing. He's continued to do more and more practice. It's a bruise on the knee, and so it's not like it's going to get any worse. There's no ligament damage. So I think that if he goes out there and gets through warm-ups tomorrow, then I believe there's a good chance that you'll see Hendon Hooker playing quarterback tomorrow. Of course, it's nothing official, but I think now here on a Friday, I'm a lot more confident that I'm going to see Hendon Hooker compared to where I was on a Monday or a Tuesday. But if you get Hendon Hooker back, how much will that help? It'll certainly help, but what about Cade Mays? What about Tyon Evans? What about Cooper Mays? What about Elijah Simmons? There's still a whole lot more left in terms of that injury report that I think you're going to need in order to try to pull off this upset.
And finally, what did Jerome Carvin say about playing at Alabama?
Yeah, Jerome Carvin, he said, "Hey, I played down there before. I love playing down there. It's you know, being on the road in the SEC. It's a fun and hostile environment. You ride down to the strip to the stadium, and the fans are saying just a lot of things that aren't nice to you." He said, "The whole week of practice, you hear 'Sweet Home Alabama,' and you get so sick and tired of hearing it." But he says he enjoys playing down there, and that they're going to take a shot at them. And you know, Jerome Carvin also said earlier this week that he's excited about it. He knows the stretch of games coming up where Tennessee's going to be, you know, underdogs and how it's going to be a challenge. But he said that's what it's like playing in the SEC, and you just got to go out there and give it your best shot. And you know, that's why you choose to come to Tennessee. Josh Heupel said that before. It's why games like this is why you choose to come to Tennessee. So looks like the players are excited, ready, and prepared, and it should be a really nice 104th installment of the third Saturday in October. And so that will do it here for a Friday practice report. And again, game day all day coverage begins at 8 o'clock on the Sports Animal. Kickoff will be at 7 o'clock, and Vol Radio Network coverage will begin at 5:30. Today's Tennessee football practice report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Beat the spring rush. Get your pool started now. From design to construction to maintenance, one call can do it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527.
Eric, we sure do appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a fantastic weekend, and we'll talk to you again Monday.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. And that is a Tennessee football practice report with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. We are at Twin Peaks today, right here on North Shore between Kingston Pike and Paper Mill. We invite you out. And, Jimmy, right now it's an even 29 degrees in terms of that beer temperature. So it's that means it's the perfect time to say hello to Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Jesse, how are you? Jesse, hey, are you with us?
I got you now. Yeah,
there
yeah,
we go.
Yep. I'm all set now. I'm all good to go now. I don't know what happened there, but I'm good to go.
All right. Well, we sure do appreciate it. And I guess before we get into what happened last night in Powell, what about Catholic winning the state volleyball title?
Well, I'm really happy for head coach Brent Carter and that staff and that program. They're one of the best volleyball programs, not just in our area, but in the state over the last 7 or 8 years, really since Brent took over the program. And we've seen them win state championships and get close oh so many times, and then to go out and knock off the three-time defending state champions yesterday in straight sets when the last few times they played had gone all five sets was just an eye-opener. And it just was a testament to the determination of that Catholic squad. So big shout-out to Catholic. Also to Concord Christian, who finished runner-up in Division II single A. That's their third time finishing runner-up in the last 4 years. And Carmen Hochaver does a great job with that program, and they have one of the area's top players. So it's been a successful week down in Murfreesboro for area teams. And Anderson County made it pretty far. You had Hardin Valley, Maryville representing the area, and North Green and South Green as well. And South Green won a state championship today. So big week for area teams in high school volleyball.
Jesse, what did you think of the game last night with Catholic pulling it out against Powell 30-29?
Well, it was a classic like we thought it was going to be. I think everybody hoped that when they heard that this game was going to be played, and especially in late October where both teams are probably likely going to be at peak performance level. And I hate that the rain came in last night, but I think it also kind of helped contribute to this overall feel of the game. I know it was just an added little ingredient into a back-and-forth affair, and came down to the final quarter, and that's all you could really hope for. It's a non-region game. It didn't really mean much for either team other than bragging rights, and those two have been going back at it back and forth on social media over the last year and a half in a playful way, not mean-spirited. A lot of those players grew up together. They know each other very, very well, hang out together a lot. And they were clamoring for this game back in the summer of 2020, and that's when I saw Tommy Winton and Caden Martin at the time kind of playfully throwing out tweets to Powell coach Matt Lowe to try and get a game on the schedule. And, of course, it didn't materialize for 2020, but did for 2021. And, man, Tommy Winton was just unbelievable last night. I still say he was the best skill player on the field last night, and he showed once again why he's been one of the top area players for 4 years now.
You mentioned bragging rights for last night. How about Halls at Central? That could be a good one tonight, couldn't it?
Yeah, and Halls has had the bragging rights over the last year. They upset Central last year, I think 20-16, and I'm sure Central remembers that. Central playing some really good football right now, having won five games in a row going into the last couple of weeks of the season where they're trying to stay in the hunt for a region championship. So they need this game tonight. And here's Halls. Halls has already played its way into the playoffs, but would really, really like to kind of muddy the waters and see what it could do if it closes out the season with two region wins. So it's going to be a lot on the line for both of those programs tonight. Halls, I think, caught a lot of people's attention a couple of weeks ago when they beat Carnes, and they forced six turnovers against Carnes. And this is a Halls defense that really feasts off of turnovers. They have forced 19 turnovers this year. They're plus 10 in the turnover differential. So That's got to weigh heavily on the play callers' minds at Central tonight. They need to take care of the football and rely on their defense and try to grind out a win.
Jesse, we talked about it the last couple of weeks. So many teams had open dates when weeks 8 and 9. Now we have week 10 and the conclusion of the regular season next week. What do you think these last two Fridays are going to be like?
Well, next Friday is just chock full of games that just have huge playoff implications. We did a story on our website for this very purpose. So we're just kind of outlining what you need to keep an eye on in the last couple of weeks. And one of those games that has the utmost importance upon it is next week's Farragut and Bearden game. That's basically for a playoff spot. And we've kind of been monitoring it the last two or three weeks to say, well, this could come down to this game. Well, it definitely is. And that win by Bearden over Cleveland last week kept it in the playoff hunt at the time. We thought it might have gotten Bearden into the playoffs, but there's still some work to do as we took a look at all the tiebreakers and things that could happen. So they need to beat Farragut to get into the playoffs. Farragut needs to beat Bearden to get into the playoffs. And everybody knows that's one of the most heated rivalries in Knox County and East Tennessee. So for a playoff spot to be on the line in that game, that's high drama in Week 11, the final week of the regular season.
As you mentioned, and rightly so, Tommy Winton has been so big for Catholic over the last 2 weeks. You look at him taking some snaps in the Wildcat package against Pope John Paul II, as well as once or twice last night against Powell. But we've also seen Jaden Neal really step up his contribution. This is a young man, showed a lot of poise. You wrote about him first as he led Catholic to the 7-on-7 title back during the summer months. But last night on that game-winning play, so many quarterbacks would simply have fallen on the ball when the ball popped over his head and then bounced on the ground, but it came right back to him, and then he just did a nice little spin and fired to Tommy Winton. What have you seen in terms of just the development of Jaden Neal from the start of the season to now, I guess, 8 games under his belt as Catholic's quarterback?
Well, I'll go back to even farther back into the spring when Jaden Neal was trying out for the Tennessee-Kentucky Futures All-Star Game as an 8th grader. And we saw this kid with big hair and a lot of potential, and there were some people that pointed him out to us. But never did I think he would be leading the Catholic football team in the 2021 season. And as you mentioned, John, back in June, he led Catholic to a championship inside Neyland Stadium against Powell in the 7-on-7 championship with a lot of Tennessee coaches watching and people filming for Tennessee. And so all eyes were on him, and he didn't get rattled. And after we wrote about him, there are a lot of area coaches and people who have trained with Jaden Neal who reached out to me and said, this kid has a chance to be really special, not just with the physical makeup that he has, but the mental makeup that he has. For him to be here in week 10, still standing upright, he's what, 5'10", John, maybe 150 pounds, playing in this really difficult schedule. He's out there battling with a cast on his non-throwing hand against Walter Nolan, the top player in the country, and not getting rattled and playing on TV in the rain and making clutch throws. It goes back to what all those people who reached out to me said about the potential this young man has. He's just scratching the surface of that, and it's remarkable to see a freshman handling that moment like he did.
Jesse, did you see Walter Nolan pick up his quarterback, Jordan Potts, and carry him to the sideline?
Collins. It was a slot receiver. I did. Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Jaden is one of the area's top slot receivers. I mean, he led Powell and Kett in receiving last year and had over 500 yards coming into this game. And he could not put weight on that left leg, Jimmy. And he had his arm slung around Matt Lowe, and he was hopping on one leg trying to get off the field. And I think Walter Nolan finally just went over there and said, hey, I'm going to meet you halfway, and carried him like a groom would carry the bride over the threshold. I mean, it was just put him in both arms and delivered him over to the sideline and said, all right, you know, tend to it and let's get back to play. So it was a great moment of a real candid moment and brought a lot of smiles. But as I wrote on the site last night, if they lose Jaden Collins for a few games or even the rest of the season, that is a very, very big loss for that offense. So it was a fun moment to watch, but it has bigger, kind of wider-reaching effects if he's not able to make it back.
This year, whether it's by design or not, most high school teams had a week off. Could have been COVID, could have been an open date. Maybe they couldn't schedule somebody. Do you think the high school coaches liked having open dates or off weeks during the season, or do you think they prefer playing 10 in a row?
I would say you're probably going to get a variance in that question with coaches. There are certain teams that just get plagued by the injury bugs at random times, and they would do anything for an extra bye week. And then there's some that get that momentum rolling, and they don't want to take one at all or don't like fall break because it disrupts everything and gets them out of rhythm. And coaches are creatures of habit, so it varies greatly. Like, take Webb this year, for example. They've had three off weeks. Alcoa. Mm-hmm. Alcoa hasn't played in 21 days until they play tonight because of COVID games and because of fall break and bye week. So it's really kind of thrown a new wrinkle into the high school season, and it's been up to the coaches to try to keep these young kids engaged mentally and keep them in their routines and preparing for each week, whether they get to play or not.
Jesse, where are you guys going to be tonight?
So we will be at the Battle for Black Oak Ridge, or that's up at Central High School between Central and Halls. That's where Five Star Live will be. We'll have highlights from last night's Catholic and Powell game. We'll be interviewing Connie Winton on the show tonight on our Waffle House hotline. We'll have video from Morristown West and Jefferson County. That big rivalry game. There's a really big region game at Carter tonight against South Doyle in Region 2-4A. So we'll have coverage of that one as well. And just all kinds of trivia and breakdown on all the games tonight and what to look forward to next week.
Always exciting. And then, of course, if you would, just give us the quick thumbnail sketch on who's still alive in volleyball, as well as those closing in on some big things in soccer, especially when you look at a program like Anderson County.
Yeah, so volleyball just wrapped up today. So, again, South Green kind of won their state championship today. We talked about Catholic winning a state championship and Concord finishing runner-up. So volleyball is complete. Golf is complete. We got tomorrow, we have state sectionals in girls soccer, and that's obviously, some people still call it sub-state. They can qualify for next week's state championships. Will be played in Chattanooga, so I want to remind everybody that the state girls soccer championships have moved to Chattanooga for this year. So we'll have coverage Saturday on the site, hopefully before Tennessee kicks off against Alabama, to get everybody caught up on what happened with soccer so they can enjoy the game Saturday night.
Jesse, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Good luck with everything, and we look forward to catching up with you next Friday.
Thanks, John. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jesse Smith of 5starpreps.com joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. And, Jimmy, we should remind folks that we have just a tiny adjustment in terms of some high school football coverage. With the fact that Catholic played last night, it will be Halls and Central on both AM 990 and FM 99.1 with Vince Ferrara and Don Mahoney. Mm-hmm. And then, since Joel Silverberg is so busy with the Ice Bears, Hardin Valley, tonight's game for the Hawks against William Blount. That'll be on our sister station, News Talk 98.7. That'll be taken care of by the Rivalry Thursday crew. That is Brian Rice and Jason Swain.
Yes, and so that's our adjustment. By the way, if folks want to come by, we've got koozies over there. What else do we have? We've got some cups.
We got a water bottle.
Yep, we got a little, I think they're keychain kind of things. We've got some swag.
That's right.
So come by and check it out right here at Twin Peaks.
That's right. Twin Peaks right here on North Shore between Kingston Pike and Paper Mill. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, scenic views. Coming up hour number two of Sports Talk, it's the Pick segment. Mike Stoll joins us next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.